Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I started yesterday talking about lessons from the Christmas story for every season. And what we're doing is just going and taking some of the scriptures that talk about the birth of Jesus, which everybody's attention is focused on this at this time of the year, and we're going back to the Word and finding out what the scriptures really say. There's a lot of really good things about Christmas. I love the fact that you can hear godly music playing in malls and in stores. At this time of the year, man, that's awesome. People are more receptive and talking about the Lord, but there's also a lot of stuff that takes people's attention away from the Lord. We get caught up in the materialism. So there's good and bad associated with this. And even among Christians, you'll find that there's a lot of Christians that just use the passages about the birth of Jesus to kind of set a mood for Christmas. And it's all about some feeling or something, and they aren't getting the power and the truth that's in many of these scriptures. A verse that I used yesterday is Mark chapter 7, verse 13, where Jesus says that your traditions and doctrines of men make the Word of God of none effect. And I tell you, we've got a lot of religious traditions that keep the Word from really having its full impact. Yesterday, I countered some of the things about the wise men. They weren't three in number. They weren't kings. They came from Persia, not just because, you know, some supernatural thing happened by a star. That's kind of the thing that sparked it. But it was actually the prophecy of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, where it gave the exact time that the Messiah would be born, they were looking for something that would lead them to the Messiah because of the influence of a godly man who had written these things. You can read about that in Daniel chapter 4 and chapter 9. And they didn't come to the manger in Bethlehem. I believe they came to a house in Nazareth. And anyway, I've got a lot more detail on all of this. But I just use some of these things to counter some of our tradition, and there are lessons that we can learn from that. I want to turn over to Luke chapter 1. I'm using this Life for Today study Bible. I mentioned this yesterday, but one of the reasons I use this is because it takes the four Gospels and puts them in chronological order so that I have right here on one page every scripture in the Gospels that refers to one thing. And from this, you get a perspective and you get understanding. You get a clarity about the way that things are going. So I think that studying the Gospels in a chronological form is great. Plus, I wrote 1,300 footnotes. This is a 600-page book. I've written 1,300 footnotes in here. This took me over 6 years to compile and put together, and I use this to study all of the time. And from this, you see that the birth of John to Zacharias and Elizabeth is only mentioned in Luke chapter 1. He's the only gospel writer. Matthew doesn't reveal that. Mark doesn't. John doesn't. Luke is the only one that brings this out. And I tell you, this gives you a lot of clarity when you see things and by combining all four of these gospel accounts on this one thing. So in Luke chapter 1 and in verse 5, it says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." You know, this is important. I could spend more time on this, but they were Levites, and that was very important because of some of the prophecies and things that had gone before about the coming of John the Baptist. In verse 6, it says, "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." You know, again, I'm going to have to move through this rather quickly, but I just encourage you. We skip over these verses, but this is a major point right here. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Not sinless, but blameless. In other words, they were operating under the old covenant that they had. They were doing the best that they could to fulfill the Word of God. And when they failed, they offered the appropriate sacrifices and submitted themselves unto the Word of God. And because of it, they were blameless. They weren't sinless. Now, that is a message in itself. Nobody can be sinless. Nobody can do everything perfectly. But praise God, the Lord has made provision for when we blow it. And under the new covenant, it's 1,000 times greater. We've already been forgiven of our sin. But most people don't understand the paradox right there, that they were blameless and righteous before God, not because they earned it, but because they had submitted to the provisions of the old covenant for atoning for their sins. And in verse 7 it says, "And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both now well stricken in years." That means that they were beyond childbearing years. So this was an absolute miracle for John to be born. And in verse 8, "It came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord." Again, for those of you that aren't familiar with the Old Testament scripture, the priests were divided into 24 courses, which meant that each course had 2 weeks worth of service. And there was numbers of people in each course. And then they took lots among themselves, among those priests that were in each of these 24 courses. And they would take turns going into the temple to offer the sacrifices and do the things that were instructed the priest to do. And so here was Zacharias just doing what he was called and ordained by God to do. And this is when he had the miraculous encounter with the Lord. Now, we're talking about lessons to learn from the Christmas story. And I tell you, here's a lesson that you can learn. Zacharias had the most important encounter with the Lord of his entire life. And how did it happen? It wasn't when he was home fasting and praying. It wasn't when he was shut up in a closet someplace. Or, you know, he and his wife had been praying for years, possibly decades, for a child, and they had been barren. And back in those days, if a woman was barren, there's many scriptures that bear this out, it was a shame for them. And I mean, it was something that they could have been just at home grieving. They could have left the priest office. They might have just given up. They could have been so discouraged and despondent that they were at home griping and complaining. But instead, Zacharias was doing what he was called to do, and that's how the Lord appeared unto him. And I tell you, this is a great lesson to learn. You can actually go through the scriptures and you'll find out that every person that God used in a miraculous way, they were out doing what they knew to do. Moses was keeping his father's sheep on the backside of the desert when he had the Lord appear unto him in this burning bush. He wasn't at home praying. You can find Gideon was threshing wheat and he was hiding it from the Midianites, and the Lord appeared unto him and spoke to him, and God used him miraculously. David was keeping his father's sheep and the Lord called him. And on and on and on you can go. Every single person that God called, he called them as they were about their daily activities and doing what they were supposed to do. And yet I find a lot of people that want to just shut themselves up in a closet someplace and seek the Lord, and that's how they think that they're going to encounter the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't times that we fast and pray and seek the Lord, but I'm saying that really, if you go to Scripture, if you want to learn lessons from this Christmas story, here's one of the lessons that you can learn. That Zacharias was doing what he was called to do. You can go to the 17th chapter of 1 Kings and find the Shunammite woman was just out gathering sticks, and she was going to make a fire and cook her last little bit of food. She wasn't at home praying and begging God and saying, "Oh God, we're going to die if you don't do something quickly." She was out doing what she needed to do. You know, the Lord is looking for industrious people. The Lord is looking for people that you're just doing what you know to do. And yet there's a lot of people that, you know, for one thing, you cannot predict the exact day that the Lord is coming back, but there are people with this same mindset as some of these groups we've heard about, who they think that they know the day the Lord is coming back, and so they go up onto a mountain someplace, quit all of their jobs, get rid of everything, and they are just waiting on the Lord to return. You know what we should be doing? The Lord told us to occupy until He comes. And so one of the lessons we need to learn is, even if you knew the day that the Lord was coming back, you ought to be doing what God called you to do, what He told you to do last. And when the Lord comes back, and if I'm doing what God told me to do, I can guarantee you I'm going with Him. But this is a great lesson to learn. This has direct application to all of us, that he was just doing what God called him to do. And it says in verse 11, there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell on him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Let me read to you a couple of the prophecies from the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." And then in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." So these are the scriptures that Gabriel, the angel here, is referring to. We find out later in verse 19 that this angel identifies himself as Gabriel. And he is referring back to the prophecies of Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, and Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. And so John the Baptist was prophesied. And boy, there are, again, tremendous lessons to learn from this. Notice that he said, "Thy prayers are heard," and that God was giving him and his wife Elizabeth a child. So this means that Zacharias and Elizabeth had been praying for this. You would suspect that they had been praying for this for decades. Any of you that have ever prayed for something, and if it seems like it's been a long time in coming, you know some of the things that you deal with. You deal with frustration. You deal with unbelief. You deal with actually the desire to just quit and give up, especially when it says that they were now well stricken in years. It was past the time of childbearing age for Elizabeth, and so, you know what, they probably had just moved on and thought, well, maybe this is something we aren't going to see manifest. Maybe they were still believing. I personally believe that there was still some kind of faith here, because the angel, Gabriel, said that your prayers are heard. And yet we see from Zacharias' response that there was also unbelief present. And this is something that is common, that you don't just usually do everything perfectly. You believe for something and then you struggle with unbelief and you're in and out. And we see that Zacharias wavered on this. But one of the lessons that we can learn from this, we find out later, I believe it's in Galatians chapter 4, where it says, "When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law." And it says that there was a fullness of time. John the Baptist's birth was keyed to the birth of Jesus. He was going to be the one who would prepare the way before Jesus. And so, Zacharias and Elizabeth had promises to stand on, like in Deuteronomy chapter 7, it's a promise that there won't be a single one barren among you or any that cast their young. I'm convinced that they probably turned to that passage of Scripture. They read it. They stood on this. They were believing God for a child. But you know what? God was answering their prayers, but the timing of it was keyed to the time that Jesus would be born. If they would have gotten their prayers answered earlier, then their son could not have been John the Baptist. He couldn't have been this one who prepared the way. The timing of their answered prayer was dependent upon some other things. And here's some lessons that we can learn. That some of you may be praying for some things, but you don't understand that maybe the timing of it is dependent upon some other things happening. For instance, I have people come to me all of the time and they want me to pray that God will find them the right mate and that they will find the right husband or the right wife or whatever. And they just want to pray and claim it and boom, see something happen. But you know, the Lord, the person that God really has picked out for you, maybe they have some things that need to be worked out on the inside of them. You know, you can't just sit there and claim some of these things. There are some things that are dependent upon other people and what's happening with them. With Zacharias and Elizabeth, their answer to prayer for a child, it was actually because God was going to give them a child like no other. Jesus later said in Matthew chapter 11 that among those who had been born among women, there had never been a greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist was greater than Moses, greater than Elijah, greater than David, greater than anybody you want to mention in the Old Testament. Man, this was a powerful, powerful child and a gift. And I mean, he was filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. So this was something special that God was doing. And the delay in their answer to prayer was actually because he was special and he had a special mission. And that actually dictated that their answer to prayer was going to be delayed. It wasn't because he was ignoring them. It wasn't because he wasn't sensitive to their request that their answer to prayer didn't manifest instantly. It was because he was doing something very special that actually caused the delay in the birth of their son. And there's a lesson that we can learn from that. Some of you may be praying for something and just can't understand why there is a delay. We don't know all of the things that are going on behind the scene, but I can promise you this. It says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, which is according to the Word of God, you don't just throw your prayer out and say, if it be your will, but you pray based on the promises of the Word of God, and you have a confidence that if you ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. And that's the way that you have to be. And then just trust that, Father, I don't understand why the timing of this thing may be the way that it is. But you can learn a lesson from Zacharias and Elizabeth. Maybe it's because God has got something so special that He is some way that He's going to answer your prayer. Do it in such a miraculous way that, you know what, it may take a little time to get all of the other things involved in this worked out. But you have to believe that you receive when you pray. Mark 11, 24 says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. That's present tense. You have to believe it while you're praying, and you shall have them. Shall is future tense. You have to believe you receive it right now. In the spiritual realm, things are happening, and then it shall come to pass in a way that you can see it. Well, that is a tremendous lesson. Right here. That is powerful. And also notice what Gabriel said in verse 17. It says, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now this is important. You know what? Some people think that God just does things, and because He's God, He can just snap His fingers. Anything happens. And, you know, they don't understand that there are laws that God established here on this physical earth that even He follows. And things have to be prepared. You know, the word prepare, like, for instance, if you're thinking about preparing a meal, did you know that you have to go to the store, you have to get all of the all of the goods that you're going to be cooking and stuff, and it takes preparation. Like when a woman makes a Thanksgiving or a Christmas meal, I guarantee you, you just don't put that together in a moment's period, you know, a moment's time. It's not something you just microwave. It takes time to prepare it. It takes effort. And the way of the Lord had to be prepared. Go back to this prophecy that's in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. And it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with the curse." Boy, here's a radical statement that I hadn't got time to really explain today. Let me just mention it, and we'll continue this tomorrow. But this says that this person would come in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 17, after Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration and he literally began to radiate light, and there came a cloud over him, the Shekinah glory of God, and there was an audible voice out of heaven that spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And Moses and Elijah appeared unto Jesus and talked to him and explained some things about the death that he was going to be experiencing in Jerusalem. After all of that happened, his disciples asked him in Matthew chapter 17, it says, "Why do the scribes say that Elijah was coming before the Messiah?" And that's based on this prophecy in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. And Jesus answered it by saying, "Elijah has come before me. He was John the Baptist." And this wasn't a reincarnation or anything like that. It was just talking about that the same spirit of prophecy, the same power that was on Elijah, rested upon John the Baptist. He came in the spirit and in the power of John the Baptist. And so Jesus there proclaimed that John was the fulfillment of this prophecy in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. And so John the Baptist was this powerful, powerful man that was anointed by God, and yet it says that he was sent to prepare the way of the Lord. And it says that if he didn't prepare the way of the Lord, it says that the Lord would come and smite the earth with the curse. Now again, I'm going to have to spend tomorrow explaining this, but I'm just saying this to say that John the Baptist's ministry was vital. Did you know Jesus could not have done what he did without the ministry of John the Baptist? The way of the Lord had to be prepared, and if John hadn't have done his job, and if he hadn't have prepared the people and turned the people's hearts towards the Lord, then instead of having the Christmas story and talking about our redemption and all of these things, according to Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, there Jesus could have smitten the earth with a curse. Now this opens up a whole lot of questions, and like I said, I'm going to have to deal with this again tomorrow. But I'm saying all of this to say that John the Baptist, this was a powerful, powerful thing. He had to prepare the way of the Lord, and there are some powerful lessons that we can learn from this Christmas story.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Lessons from the Christmas Story is available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled Prepare the Way, free of charge. Throughout the series, Lessons from the Christmas Story, Andrew has been teaching from the Life for Today Gospels Edition Study Bible. This Bible is available for a gift of $30 or more when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 5th through the 7th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Caris Bible College Men's Advance January 19th through the 21st, in Houston, Texas for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 9th through the 11th, and in Colorado Springs for Caris Bible College Campus Days March 14th through the 16th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
And it was August the 9th or something is when we had that crusade.
Yeah.
And I mean, Joe was just telling us things that nobody in the Baptist church ever, nobody had ever gotten excited about the Lord. This sounds strange, but it had never dawned on my mind that that was literal, that a man had been healed. I didn't realize that. And Joe, he was coming from a background. When he read it, he says, man, what about this guy that was healed? And he was talking about, and it was just totally fresh. It was like a person was reading the Bible without all the religious bias I had. But we began to start experiencing supernatural things and just talking about it and dreaming about that, man, people could really be healed. And I remember the very first time that Joe, there was a woman, I forget her name, but there was somebody who had cancer and was in Arlington Memorial Hospital. And Joe said, well, it says right here, if we lay hands on them, they'll be healed. And I said, do you really believe that? And we talked about it, but we went up and prayed for that lady, and she was healed.
Laid hands on her.
It was
I don't know whether we masked her or not, did we?
If
we
could. I don't remember her. I don't remember asking her anything. We just went in and said, we're going to pray for you, and God's going to heal you.
But we see a lot of things like that, you know. Didn't know what we were doing, but we were doing it. But, you know, that's the way the Word really is. Jesus said that he'd heal them if we'd lay hands on them. And we just took that literally.
Well, you took it literally, and I was kind of riding along on his coattails.
For more information, log on to awmi.net. Look to the left and click on Ministry News. Then click on Today's TV News Story. Find out what's happening with the World Changers at Andrew Womack Ministries and Caris Bible College today. Are you a world changer? Caris Bible College has extension schools across America. The same truth that sets you free at our main campus in Colorado Springs will set you free in Dallas, Texas, Phoenix, Arizona, Kansas City, Missouri, Atlanta, Georgia, Dyer, Indiana, Orlando, Florida, Chicago, Illinois, Plymouth, Massachusetts, Jacksonville, Florida, and Gardner, Massachusetts. Log on to CarisBibleCollege.org today or call our phone center and ask for a complete listing of CBC Extension School locations near you. Change your life. Change the world.